welcome back to the world. Welcome back to the real world. Welcome back to the MC Universe world. As we're finally there, this is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel TV show WandaVision, episode 4, subtitled Whatever Joel's Gonna Tell Us. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett, as previously mentioned, as previously on. Thank you for joining us as we talk about the latest episode, episode 4, A Fish Called WandaVision.
Is it really called
no,
that?
No, it's not.
I'm like, get out of here.
Episode 4, We Interrupt This Program. Clever name. So we're going to talk about this episode, spoil the heck out of it. We're going to go back.
Say clever and, name like, you know, you want to say. That's exactly how I knew it.
We're going to, because I'm not that clever.
Well, this is true.
We're going to spoil this episode. We're going to talk about mysteries and answers we get in this episode, and more mysteries and questions, and see things we got right and things we got wrong, and where we're going from here. All exciting stuff. Again, we watched this episode together, so we had our reactions immediately together, but we have not talked about it since.
And we refuse to talk to each other until the microphone is rolling.
Exactly. I was actually in a terrible car accident, and I didn't tell Jerry.
Jesus, so. What a terrible, what are you, what's
I know,
wrong
car
with
accident,
you?
It was terrible. By the way, I was in a car accident. No, I wasn't.
Wait, yeah, that's not even funny.
Why are you laughing then?
I'm just
shocked. Why am I laughing?
I don't know, because you're the devil, Mephisto?
He brings it back. Is that still a thing that's going to happen?
Yes, and what's wrong with you?
I Wanda, what's wrong with me?
Oh, God. All right.
All right, so we are going to get into the episode before we waste any more time. I don't think we have any news. If we did have news, it would be not news for you. So
yes, I will say that I don't know if this is news for you or not, Joel, but in there, bringing back the Get Pierce segment.
Get Pierce.
He does not have Disney Plus. So he had said that he's not going to be able to watch the show. And then, of course, I'm telling him that, well, then he won't listen to the podcast, you know? And so I said, this show is designed for you because it's all these sitcom tropes and everything like that. So he plans on watching it at some point, but he is listening to the podcast. So he has no idea what we're talking about. He has no idea that Vision's an actual character. He thinks someone's just having visions. It's insane. But we appreciate it nonetheless. I'm sure there's other people. I'm sure Wayno is listening to this and doesn't always watch this show. Thank you for listening, Wayno. I like Wayno Vision probably is the thing. So thank you, Ed, and the Good Pierce.
Thanks everybody for listening.
We love the interaction.
Totally appreciate it. And if you do listen to us, go to whatever site you're getting this podcast from and give us a nice review if we're Hemsworthy of it. Give us a nice review, 5-star, whatever. That would be helpful. Brings
on
more listeners.
On our WordPress page, we've had a couple of nice positive feedbacks from Mr. Eric Arendel. Eric, thank you so much. I see it. I acknowledge it. And I appreciate it. Thank you for Christy Sands for giving out some information, which I will actually, she's got some great comments later in the episode we're going to talk about. And after that, we'll be done talking. Yeah. So right now, I'm going to ask Joel, what'd you think of this episode?
Oh, this is, if for those of you who have been with us for these past, 7, 8 years we've been doing this, doing our podcast, talking about Marvel, when Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, you know that I am, if not a sucker for nothing but not a sucker for a good connection to overall arching storylines, this does that. We're bringing in characters from the MCU. We're answering questions. We're delving into the movies in a deeper way. We're seeing things we've never seen before. This is taking me right back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Captain America, Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That trio combination that we had was just...
It was Joel's favorite.
It was. It's not just me. I mean, everyone loved that feeling of being able to go watch the Winter Soldier come home the next day and then watch the TV show deal with the ramifications of the movie. Now, this is not as instantaneous... And I mentioned that later on. I'm like, oh, I wish this was instantaneous in my notes, but it still connects us to the movies, and it's so good. It's everything I want. It's everything I could hope for. And so that being said, this episode's fine. No, it is amazing. This show is fantastic. This is the best thing going on television right now. What did you think?
You are correct. This was the moment I was back in the MCU. I know we had little bits of hints of it in the other episodes when, you know, we'd go widescreen and whatnot, but now I was, oh, this is a film. This is a film, or this is the film feeling they gave us, which I'm telling you, I know it's budgetary and all sorts of factors involved, but at the best of it, at the best of the Netflix shows, at the best of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even at the best of Agent Carter, none of them felt like this. This felt like the movie. This is the quality level of everything, the shooting, the cinematography, everything. I was back in the MCU in this episode, and it was wonderful.
Oh, there are a couple of times. I will kind of disagree with the conversation about never felt like the movies. I will say, the episode after Captain America, although it was slightly less than Captain America. That movie, you're also comparing it to Winter Soldier, one of the greatest MCU movies.
I'm talking about just the for myself, the mm-hmm. look and feel. As much as I love S.H.I.E.L.D., as much as I love the Netflix shows, and they all had a level up on quality, but they were not ever at the cinematic Game of Thrones Westworld look. And that's not, I mean, they're not way down, but they were not there. And this was there. This, sure. You know, everything
the
about
scope,
this.
The
just the motion, yeah. Everything about this felt like yeah. This is, okay, they filmed a movie, and I loved it. And I love this episode. It's my favorite yet. It was the one that a whole discussion of people saying, well, they're, you know, the show's too slow. But regardless of being it too slow or taking forever, and we've already previously talked about how, like, I thought if this was a movie, all of this would have been crunched into a more of a 10-minute segment. There is a payoff here. We've spent time with these characters, and so now we're invested in them versus just the few minutes they've always had on screen in the ensemble shows that they've done. It's very similar to how Coulson, we got to have so much more time with Coulson, so we're so much more invested in him than in the movies. And I'm going to get diverted there. So I don't want to go any more on that. I agree with you. This was great. This was my favorite episode so far. I'm very, very excited. Why don't we get into it?
Yes. Episode directed by Matt Shakman, who's done the previous episodes. And this episode starts off with a bang, or a blip, or a reverse blip, or whatever you want to call it.
They called it the snap from our point of view.
Snap? But it's not the snap. It's something else.
It's the Hulk snap. But they call it the blip in the world. That's yes. The media. We're hearing some audio here.
Yeah, so this scene we're going to see right here is taking place during Endgame, during when Hulk makes a snap of his fingers.
I've already seen a video blinking it up online.
We're just going to keep track of our time here on this. And we hear some audio, and that audio is from Captain Marvel. What are we hearing, Jerry?
It is when Carol Danvers is talking to a young Monica Rambeau and having a conversation with her, and that's what we're hearing, actually. I wonder if they had to pay Brie Larson for using her voice here. But yes,
I thought about that too. I mean, that's an interesting question.
But yes,
we get
the blip brings Monica coming back through the effect, which the only time we've ever seen this beforehand was in Spider-Man Far From Home, when they show it on in the scene that's capturing it on the cameras that are in the gymnasium, or somebody's at a phone and you see everybody pop back. And it's played for comedy in Far From Home. This is much more, oh my God, look at the chaos it's caused.
Yeah, and they just pop back. This is more of a reverse snap where people disintegrate. This, they come back.
Yeah, and the interest about this is, like, when they're coming back. For example, she comes back in that room. There could have easily, now the Hulk thought this through so that somebody wouldn't, like, when she materialized on that chair, there wasn't somebody already sitting on that chair.
Correct.
They thought that through. Someone's not going to be in an airplane somewhere. No one's going to be on a boat that's no longer in the water. But there could have easily been somebody else lying in that bed. There could have been a family member standing around. And obviously when she's running through the hallway there and she's talking to people, and the one guy's like, hey, have you seen my wife? I need to talk to my wife. And then she runs into a guy who just immediately forms in front of her. So he was safe until she ran into him. But yeah,
yes.
Was
I mean, you have to take in Kevin Feige talked about this, like, Hulk is smart enough to put people
I'm good with
in
that.
Different places. Because, I mean, if you look at this in a grand scale, obviously you can't bring people back to where they left off. Not because they're in a plane or because they're in a boat that's no longer there. Because the Earth is no longer in the position that it was when the snap happened.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
It's just the bigger thing. So I think they handled it in the right way. No one appeared in a wall.
Yeah.
You know,
I covered that. And I also, I brought this up when I was talking with Debbie about this, is all of this chaos is, in a small degree, Tony Stark's fault, because he said, you know, because they have a time stone when this was all said and done. He could have snapped his fingers and everybody came right back to the time they left and it would have all been fine. But Tony Stark, right or wrong, said, can't go back. I'll lose my daughter. And so because Monica now is going to lose 2 years with her mother that she could have had, even though she had cancer and she died, that's Tony Stark says, I want my daughter alive. And that's the consequence of that is the chaos.
That's a heavy, heavy situation.
I mean, obviously, Tony could have said, let's go back to that time. He still has Gwyneth Paltrow's, you know, Pepper Potts is there. They could have made it. They could have had another child and everything. And Thanos would they you know, all sorts of things could have done that. But he chose that, which that I'm not saying he's not wrong.
Now we're getting into the. They go back 5 years back to where they were. Do they have their memories that they had? Does Thanos attack again and it just all repeats itself and then you're caught in a loop?
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, there's all sorts of... I'm saying that they built that in there when the Hulk did it. He's like, we can't go back. That was part of his memory of not doing that because Tony had the daughter. So that is the reason.
But yeah, I agree with that, but it also creates a paradox. Like, if he snaps his fingers and goes back to the past, does he have memories of snapping his fingers and going back to the past?
No, because they could have gone right back to... He's got a time thing. He could have snapped right back and gone right back to when Thanos first did it, and he clicks him right back, and he's right next to him. And then they, you know, they could have planned that, is what I'm saying. Anyways, I don't want to go deep down. We're going to get stuck in that.
I know, and I agree. I just want to say, like, again, they deal with this kind of. They wouldn't go back to their timeline. They'd go back to a different timeline.
Yeah, whatever. I guess so, I don't want to keep going down this road. I just
want to. I know, but I'm just mentioning it. So
that I thought of that moment.
And
there.
That's a great point to bring up. And this wrestles with. We find out things like for her, and I think we've known this already, but it's a clarification. It's the blip was instantaneous. She felt like she just fell asleep for 20 minutes, and then she woke up.
Yeah, we knew this from Spider-Man.
Exactly, but it's more confirmation. Does everyone feel that way, or do some people feel? Does everyone feel like they took a nap? Or does everyone feel like they blinked out and blinked back in? Because she might have been napping when she got blinked out.
We're watching people appear in the hallway, and they clearly weren't napping because they were standing in a hallway.
Yeah, so what does it feel like for those people? That's what I'm asking. Is it instantaneous, or is it feel like they took a nap for 2 minutes? Yeah.
But she luckily finds at this point, she runs into the doctor who was dealing with her mom, thank goodness for her, and she finds out that her mom had cancer and had come back 3 years ago. So, and she had been, you know, she's been gone for 5 years.
And why did her mom have cancer? This is my question. Did her mom, Maria Rambeau, who we saw in Captain Marvel, did her mom get cancer from being around Captain Marvel or being aliens?
I can't do anything with cancer anymore because everybody people getting cancer.
Of course.
I know you've had cancer. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't find that thing, I don't like that anymore as far as radiation gave them this. Like, real world stuff has made me change my opinion on, you know, the magic of special powers give someone cancer. I don't care for it anymore.
3 weeks later.
So now we are in a time period around Far From Home, you think?
No, it's before that. Far From Home is this is taking place because this is only 3 weeks later.
And how long was Far From Home?
Is a year later.
Are you sure?
Yep, that is 2024.
I'm sure there's a timeline online that talks about where Far From Home is.
Because we're 3 weeks later. She's the first one to return to work,
yes.
So I don't think we're back to Far From Home. I don't think the world's going, okay, everyone go back to work 3 weeks later that you just got blipped in. I think the people have established lives and they're still fixing everything. So I think school is going to be one of the last things that gets put back together, as we've now seen from a pandemic.
Okay, I'm trying to remember Far From Home had a 6 months later at the front of it.
So no, just chronologically speaking, series takes place in 2023, 3 weeks after the blip was undone in Avengers Endgame. This places WandaVision between Endgame 2023 and Spider-Man Far From Home 2024 in the Marvel Cinematic
Sounds like
timeline.
You're reading something.
I am reading something. I'm reading someone who put together a chronological timeline of what's happening here.
Oh, what's happening? Where does Rerun and Dwayne and Rod show up? Because that'd be awesome.
Did you? Okay, then. So, anyways, we're going into the SWORD headquarters.
What does SWORD stand for, Jill?
SWORD stands for Sentient Weapon Observation Response Division. Sounds like someone's trying real hard to make an acronym.
Yes, and when we walk into this base, it is very, very similar to SHIELD headquarters that we see in Winter Soldier.
And in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show.
Oh, I'm talking about
the Triskelion.
Yes, but I'm talking about the Winter Soldier had money behind it, and they showed that whole sequence there was just it was awesome. Yeah,
sure. But you see the like the sword logo. That's a fountain, which is very similar to the shield logo. That's
the eagle.
Yeah, sword is not what it stands for in the comics.
It's so. One word difference.
Yes, weapon is actually, I believe, world.
Yes. In the comics, it's more about a space keeping, well, that, watching the world.
They talk about this here. So as we're walking into S.W.O.R.D., we see a bunch of screens showing different stuff. We see CNN. We get to see WHIH, which is the in-world, one of the in-world news organizations, which have news programs that are actually, quote-unquote, canon, that was introduced before Ant-Man, when you see him driving his car into the pool of his boss. So the WHIH has been used before in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And on the wall, as Monica is walking into S.W.O.R.D., we see a picture memorializing her mother, Maria Rambeau. It's on the wall.
Yeah, and we get a very... the guy who's, quote-unquote, the guard behind the desk, he was real snotty, like, oh, if you worked here, I guess this would have worked. And all of a sudden, the director, Tyler Hayward, who shows up here, the acting director, he's like, hey, you know who that is? You almost wanted to go, like, yeah, you're gone.
Right? Tyler Hayward, played by Josh Stamberg, he was in the TV show Nashville. He was in the movie Legion, which also had Paul Bettany in it as the main character. He also, interestingly enough, I don't even know if you know these exist, he's done a lot of James Bond radio plays recently, like over the past like 5 years.
So and I will say, there are James Bond radio plays?
That's what I'm saying.
Note to self, like, find these radio plays.
It's put on IMDb, so I don't know, like they must be worth... while
because and, IMDb
and so we get acting director Hayward. He starts talking about how they've limited their space program, and I put in my parentheses, maybe, we don't know, this is director Hayward good, is he bad? We're programmed to think all these type of people are bad because the movies have taught us that these government-run organizations are evil.
Mm-hmm. He talks about how there is a lot of threats in space, and Monica knows this. And she goes, yeah, space has threats, but it also has allies, she says, because we've seen her as a little girl with the Skrulls and children. So she is very aware of
this. And Captain Marvel, who's part alien, I guess, if you want to.
I don't.
Not really. So they're walking through a hangar. I don't know what they're building in this hangar.
There's sparks.
Something going on, something big.
They're working on sparks.
Sparks. We find out that Monica has been up to space. So she's probably working on that platform that we see at the end of.
That's a jump. All we saw on that was
Nick Fury
and a lot of Skrulls. We don't know if he's on a Skrull situation. Well,
the only reason I'm bringing this up is because she spent a lot of time. She's like, when am I going back up?
Oh, I know. I know she's been up there. I just don't know where she's been.
Exactly. So, I mean, unless she's hanging out on the ISS, International Space Station.
No, I think you're right. There is something up there. I just don't know if that was what we saw in that in the end of a. Spider-Man.
So then she's going to be put onto a mission. She's going to find a missing person that the FBI needs help with out in New Jersey.
Why do they need S.W.O.R.D.?
Because S.W.O.R.D. now deals with drones.
Little helicopters. Kind
of
weird.
Drones, especially since if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the MCU, we've seen better drones than what
we
they
also
offer
see better
in
drones in this episode when Darcy's looking out the window and she sees him flying through there.
My thought behind that is, again, if they're connecting this, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be canon.
They're not.
Well, they might be.
You're going to dwell on this every time, aren't you?
Well, no, they might be. I mean, there's been rumors coming out once Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back to Disney Plus that they're going to be bringing back the.
They just characters. Announced, one of the guys who worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just announced that they were told not to say S.W.O.R.D. in the last episodes, and they actually had planned on using it, and they were told not to.
So this it could still come back. All I'm saying is, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had the really nice, really, really fancy drones. They had the very fancy drones. The reason we're not seeing those drones now is because they're working with the FBI, and they still want to be secretive around government organizations like the FBI, CIA.
You think so?
Yeah. That's a possibility. That's what I'm saying. Like, why we're using just a regular drone as
opposed to something. Well, even as a regular drone, it seemed fancy. It was weird. It's like, why is it as a helicopter? Obviously, it plays out as a helicopter in the show because then it's a smaller, different, older-looking helicopter in the show. But it was like, why? Okay,
yeah, it was weird that they were using that drone. But
yeah.
So she goes there. We get reintroduced to a character by the name of Jimmy Woo. Jerry's been talking about Jimmy Woo being the voice on the radio. He has been correct.
He's in S.H.I.E.L.D. He's in Agents of Atlas. He's an old MCU character, and obviously we've seen him previously in Ant-Man and the Wasps, where he was completely fascinated with Ant-Man's ability to do card tricks, and we get that as soon as he rips out his card. He does that card.
It's great.
And it's fantastic.
It's great. So he is part of the FBI at this point. a G-man.
He's actually coming there from Oakland, which we knew he was on the coast, to check on this witness protection character. And let's talk about this for a little bit.
So this is the missing person who she went down there to look into, who is in the witness protection program.
And so let me ask you this.
Who's been erased from everyone's memory.
Yeah, and that's that erased by the people who would know this person also.
And it's a he.
It is a he. Christy wants to know about this. Christy thinks that it could be Ralph, possibly Agnes's husband, who's missing. But I don't know about that. That was interesting.
But yeah, we don't know who this is, because all the men who I think we've seen in the previous series, we've actually got their real names. So none of them are actually the missing person yet.
Well, here's my question then, okay, regarding this. And also we were talking about, because she really thinks that the acting director that we were talking about earlier is bad. And there may be a hint towards what that is, but he may be bad. So there's maybe a Hydra connection, which made me, when we were talking about this, Christy and I, it brought up the point where who could have been possibly something that would have tied in with Jimmy Woo being in California and being put in witness protection. You know, you could say, oh, it's somebody like Hawkeye or Ant-Man, but witness protection is usually somebody who was bad, who's hiding, maybe gave evidence, state's evidence or whatnot. So my question to you is, and this may not be somebody who's in Westview, but clearly is the one I was thinking about, is if you remember in the original Ant-Man, there was the gentleman who was in S.H.I.E.L.D., but he was really Hydra. He was the character that Michael Douglas's Hank Pym punched
Mitchell
out.
Mitchell Carson is the actor.
And then we eventually
name.
See him in Ant-Man, and then I can't remember what happens to him
Martin
at the end
Donovan
of
the Donovan played the, is the actor, Mitchell Carson.
Yeah, but we don't know what happened to him.
We do not.
And I'm thinking he could be the one. He's been put into witness protection. That was just my
thought. That would be fantastic. He's a pretty big actor
yeah.
In general. I mean, he's in Big Little Lies. He was in Tenet. He's a bigger named actor. So that would be awesome if he was a part of this, because that is a thread left over from Ant-Man.
Yeah, and
he
I can't think of any
the,
actor who's not going to want to be
Pym
part of
particle.
Marvel. Yeah.
Or not the Pym particle, but he gets the particle that was made like the Pym particle.
So yeah, that was my that after
Martin Donovan,
that was my guess.
No, that would be awesome. I don't know if the director is supposed to be evil. He's definitely efficient. Like, he's a leader and he gets things done. Does that make him evil? I don't know.
Well, we don't know other than his
behavior.
Does he have connection to Coulson? His behavior coming up may, you know, you're looking for what they could be.
Does he have connection to Fury?
When they had the conversation, she was like, he was like, I don't know if I'd have been everybody's choice. And she said that he was the only choice. And
her mother chose him, though. So.
Yes, but again, there's that whole Hydra background, bad guys hidden in plain sight kind of situation.
Well, I mean, that'd be interesting. I don't know if they're going to go the Hydra route, has infiltrated S.W.O.R.D. now.
No, I don't either.
Point,
I don't either.
Seems
but
like a redo of what
I don't
did
either.
Before.
But there could be something, you know, bad guys in charge somewhere. All right, so we've established that's what we thought about the character who's in witness protection. But there's another question brought up here that she brings up. Why are they aware of what's going on?
Exactly. So they go to these police officers. The police officers are from Eastview, and that Westview does not exist. Clearly, do these police officers not see that sign?
It said something about, they said like selective amnesia.
Yeah, do these police officers still don't believe Westview exists? Can they turn their head and see a sign that says Westview? Are they like,
is it because of when the original thing happened here, whatever happened here, a bubble went up. It went up, the bubble put the S.H.I.E.L.D. wall down, and then maybe it put another blanket around the entire area.
Yeah, but it's not just, I'm wondering, because this little nebulous here, does Jimmy Woo say that people that know this missing person are only the people that are around this town?
No,
or
they
people
don't.
From
That's
his
the
original
question.
Town?
Is it somebody who is a fan? Does he have family in Germany? And they go, we don't know either.
Yeah, and like I said, can those police officers turn their head and see that sign that says Westview? Like, is it nothing there for them? Like,
the way
like,
they're dressed almost made me feel like they were from another time, too.
Well, they're local yokels. Also, there's like a population of like 3,800 people. Are there 3,800 people in that town, but we're only seeing these few people in Wanda's story?
Yes.
Where are all the other people?
In the town.
And Wanda doesn't see them. Or they're not a part of Wanda's story. So, but I'm saying, like, are they living out their lives, or are they living out a sitcom life? What are they doing? What's going on?
I think that that's absolutely what they're doing, because
they're living out a sitcom life.
Yes, because those characters, Herb, we didn't see Herb in the first episode, so he was doing something in another house.
So I mean, that's a lot of people. That's not just, you know, we're introduced to like 5-6 people in the town, and obviously we see a couple more people here and there at when Vision's working.
Yep.
We get some background actors, but 3,000. Is a lot of people.
It's a big area.
Yeah, but we obviously haven't seen much of the area yet. And we don't know if we'll see. Yep. That's good. So she sends the drone into the bubble. It disappears. And then she walks up, puts her hand on it, and she gets sucked in. And then I want to point this out as well. You had mentioned this when we were watching. There's no definitive answer on this, but we go from the blip return to 3 weeks later, and then she takes time to go from SWORD headquarters to New Jersey. How much time has passed? I'm assuming not that much time has passed.
No,
we don't know for certain.
That is a real question that comes down to time. What's going on in that bubble? Because we know, theoretically, it sounds like there only a couple days have passed, is the impression we're given. Although, again, what are Wanda and Vision doing outside of those half hours that we're seeing? Are the half hour shows that we are seeing, are those just edited points of their day? You know, because it's like it's only mm-hmm. half an hour here and a half hour there, so we've only technically seen.
So time is very nebulous at this point. I was talking about just how long.
Oh, I understand,
Monica.
But clearly, there couldn't have been too much time because they had a notification when she was at SWORD headquarters that hey, the FBI want us to go look at this. They're having a problem.
Yeah, so
she went there,
pretty quick.
And obviously Jimmy got there from Oakland, so he could have flown in after hearing about this a day. So maybe a day has gone by since the first bubble went up. Or 2 days at most would be my guess.
Speaking of a day, 24 hours later, from Monica disappearing into the bubble, we get the whole SWORD gets everything set up and they start bringing in experts. And one of our experts is Dr. Darcy Lewis.
Forgot how much I hate her voice.
No, I do not hate her voice. Actually, she's a comic relief from Thor and Thor: Dark World. And I actually thought she was a pretty decent comic relief in those movies.
She is not a character from the comic books at all. That's a television show or movie show creation.
I would like to point out the people in the van with her. We don't know their names, really.
But they're all from Sons of Anarchy.
No. Well, I didn't even look them up because their names are like man in the van, woman in the van. And I'm like, this is probably... Even though the one looks like he should be someone important, the bald
Enoch,
guy.
Because he's bald? Get out of here, Joel.
Because he's bald and famished. I don't know.
I played the SWORD guy in Masters of the Universe.
But we do... So they bring in Darcy, who's a doctor now. We do get introduced to Agent Monty, who I don't know if he's going to make any more appearances or not, but he's played by Alan Heckner. He's played by Alan Heckner, who was in Doom Patrol, and he was in Cobra Kai, and he was in the movie Richard Jewell. So he's done a bunch of stuff. He's actually starting to blow up on the scene a little bit here. And so Darcy goes in and starts trying to figure out what's going on. She discovers there is a lot of cosmic radiation coming from the bubble.
CMBR, cosmic microwave background radiation.
Ah, the old CMBR. SWORD is going to be sending in Agent Franklin is
his name.
In a hazmat suit into the sewer. With a line holding him, tethering him, so they can pull him back.
And he's a ways away from that wall because he goes into that hole,
crawls.
And then we don't see him for a long time until he finally hits the wall where he changes through.
Mm-hmm.
That made me question: did they put him in the sewer line a long distance away from the wall, or is maybe underground the wall the distance? You know what I mean?
It's a timing thing. So if she's getting there at nighttime or maybe early morning. This could all take place over the course of 12 hours, right?
Yeah, but why would it take him that long to crawl?
It's true.
That was my point.
We don't know what happens to him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Agent Franklin? Could that be why they call him Agent Franklin? Is there an Agent Franklin in the comics? There is a Franklin in the comics, but that's his first name, not his last name. So
yeah, I don't know. When we're also looking at the computer table there, we're seeing hexagrams on the display, on the actual electronic computer table when they're in the big setup area.
Yeah, and who's looking at the table is Director Hayward. So he is there in town. He has made his way down because this has become a lot bigger than what they thought it was.
Hey, let me ask you something about this because I will forget about it later. We've been talking and everybody's been talking about the hexagram symbols that we see everywhere. Hexagons, I'm sorry. Yeah, hexagrams.
Hexagrams, I think, are like
a singing
cookie.
Telegram. Yeah, they are. You're right. My question is, one thing I thought a connection is if it's obviously not connected to AIM at all, which I think that was dispelled this episode with the beekeeper outfit and everything. I believe it's been dispelled. But the hexagons that we see... one of the things in the comics is Wanda's magic is called hex magic. And that's a very prominent. She does hex magnet, so I wondered
like
if it's actually connected with that. Just a thought.
I like that. Hopefully, I mean, that's the best answer we've gotten other than AIM. But that's the that's a good answer for it if it turns out to be that. So Darcy figures out how to watch them on TV because there is obviously TV signals coming mm-hmm. through.
We get all sorts of comments.
I think we saw this on another video talking about this show, how the static that comes through your television is actually background noise, and that's why it looks that way. But mm-hmm. that's background noise from The Big Bang, which I thought was interesting thought.
The directors kind of just threw that out, yeah.
So they can watch them on TV. We find out this is an edited version they're watching versus the version we watched, which was technically not the edited. Well,
what are you talking about? Slightly edited.
The version that Darcy and these people are watching is a censored version of what we saw earlier.
No, it's the same version. They're just not seeing those little glitch. I mean, she says, she's referencing the fact that there are glitches in it, and that's why she says this is being censored.
So they're seeing an edited version.
They're seeing exactly what we saw, except for just that 10 seconds or 5 seconds when she sees the beekeeper. She goes no, and it's cut.
The beekeeper no. She doesn't see Vision outside. They don't see Vision outside talking to the neighbors.
How do we know that?
Because there is a moment we don't see Vision walk into the house because we see that cut later on.
Are we not? Are we staring at the screen the entire time all that's happening?
Yeah. She sees it and then she rewinds it and watches it again. And it's her. She goes, you don't belong here. She says something like that. And then it cuts to them sitting on the couch holding the babies. They're not watching Vision outside talking to
the neighbors. So we're seeing a few seconds more on the peripheral on some of these scenes is what you're saying.
Well, I wouldn't even say a few seconds. I'd say we're seeing a whole scene.
Okay. We're still talking about episode one, right? Or are you talking about farther into this when they're watching episode three?
Episode three. I'm just saying, they're watching we don't know how much of episode one they're seeing versus what we saw.
Yeah, because we're not spending time
I'm pretty certain they didn't see the scene when the guy starts choking, the husband starts choking, and she's like, save him, Vision. I'm pretty sure
I would agree with that. But that's a minute. So yes, I understand. I figured that out, though, because we knew what we were kind of seeing. Anytime the camera changes, like we've discussed, where the camera starts moving differently, and yes, it goes outside of the sitcom.
So this is I know we figured it out.
Somebody is censoring this, yes.
Yeah.
We also hear some great dialogue here where they talk about, hey, the Vision's dead. We know this. And Jimmy says, hey, this is a sitcom starring two Avengers. I like these phrases. Does anybody ever call her Scarlet Witch? It's always just Wanda, right? I have yet to hear. I don't think I've heard somebody say Scarlet Witch.
I'd have to go back and check. I'd be shocked if they haven't called, at least even in the movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I mean,
a witch.
Yeah, it took me years before I finally realized, like, oh, they actually do call Hawkeye in Avengers. Like, they call the Hawk, and then they call him Barton and everything. There was mm-hmm. one point where Black Widow, when she was flying around on one of those flying hover cars in the big battle, and she says Hawkeye. And I'm like, oh, there it is. She actually says Hawkeye, because it's like they almost never say it. But yeah, mm-hmm. okay. And this is also the sequence where we see that the director realizes what's going on, and he's heading back to the base.
Yes.
Which, like, why is he heading back to the base? We're not sure. It gets him out of the place, so that actually gives Jimmy more to do in the rest of this episode. But this is also, why is he heading back? Does he have information? Does he know something? And then, unfortunately, we get to this scene right here, where we get to the end of episode one. We see the hand, if who's been watching it. And unfortunately, Joel was right, is that somebody was important, if you consider Kate. Whatever her name is.
Darcy.
Darcy's.
She's important.
Yes. And she goes, mew, mew.
She is the one watching the tape at the end of that episode.
So damn it, Joel. Damn it.
And Jerry insisted that it wasn't someone important.
And I still stand by that.
Anyways, we get a great scene here where it's a little montage sequence where they start to identify the real people in the town. We get Todd and Sharon Davis. We get...
Would it be interesting if they actually named the actors who the real life people are?
Oh, right? I think, it's funny because you see the actress from that 70s show. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head.
It wasn't,
who plays Sharon Davis. Who is Sharon Davis? You see her headshot kind of pop up, like what she looks like in real life, because it's really similar to what she looks like without makeup on. We get Abilish Tandon, who plays Norm. We get Harold Copter, who is Jones. Isabel Matsuita is Beverly. Here's an interesting one. Herb is played by who's the real life person is John Collins. Real life in the MCU is John Collins. In his ID, he does not have really any hair from what we can see. He's kind of baldish, but obviously in the show he has an afro. So
everybody's got different hairstyles.
Well, I realize that, but she's changing their physical appearance by growing them hair.
Same for Monica.
and same, you know, same for Monica. Although Monica's hair can be styled, I'm saying Herb has grown out hair from being bald. So she's actually manipulating him genetically.
I
agree.
Versus
just restyling your hair.
Just like they created two babies out of nowhere. And
well, that's true. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is a connection to her. She can actually go in and change people.
I think the hair is going to come back. And
no, it's definitely not going to do that. But I thought that was interesting that he's bald in real life and all of a sudden he has hair. And it's not like maybe he takes off that afro in a deleted scene.
We do see Agnes on the board.
No name for her, though.
We don't see
no
that.
No connection.
And we all see no pictures of Dottie on the board.
Nope, because she hasn't been introduced yet, and as far as characters they've seen on the TV show.
At that particular point, yes.
Yes.
You're right. That's a good point, yeah. And we also get to look at Jimmy's board of questions.
Yeah, and I like this. They ask this question. They finally see Monica, or Geraldine, as she is in the TV show. They see her now, and they say, you know, is she deep undercover? They don't know. They're like, we're going to find this out next episode, but we don't know if she's just playing along or she's actually even brainwashed into the world. That's going to be a reveal we're going to see when we come back. What do you think, Jerry? Do you think she's playing along the whole time, or do you think she's been brainwashed?
I think she's been brainwashed, and it's slipping, just like it's slipping with the vision. It's
cool.
So I believe that is what's happening, and then we get the whole Jimmy on the radio scene like we talked about.
Before we get that, they get mentions of the colorized drone.
Yes.
And I like this scene here. Like, why did the drone change? Did it change to match the production design, or did it change to make it so it didn't function anymore?
Again, why would it be in color instead?
Why would it be in color? Did it have hair? To be honest, though, too, it looks better now, too. Like, when they sent it in there, it was this blocky blue.
I know, it was like, is that cardboard?
Jimmy tries to break, this is when, he tries to break in through the radio, and you were right, you've called this out previous episodes, that this is Jimmy Woo, that's who's
And here's the
voice.
Thing, we actually, you know, that's not edited out in the version they're seeing.
Not the voice, but the reaction to the voice, you're right,
well,
correct.
I'm saying there was still enough of outside of the sitcom, is they're watching a few more seconds before, like, in other words,
Rhonda into his voice. We're hearing that actually.
So she's actually seeing that part before the censors jumped on it and said, nope, stop.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hazmat suit guy?
This is where I wrote the episodes running back to back when they're watching them.
Well, that's the whole time. I was like,
we don't know.
Then they're only half an hour, so how is that working? Mm-hmm. But that's a little too much. I watched Tenet.
Yes.
Tell me. Yeah, you know, again.
Agent Franklin, the guy in the hazmat suit, he breaks through the bubble, which goes underground, so we see that.
At some point, yeah.
And he becomes the beekeeper, and his wire attachment becomes a jump rope and gets disconnected. And this is when he crawls out of the sewer.
I love this, though, by the way, because this was the whole point I've always said. Like, if you're going to go through that bubble, have a rope on so you can pull him back. I mean, that happens in – wasn't there a movie on Netflix – where they could pull somebody back through. I think, the girl who plays Jane Foster in Thor, she was in the movie.
Natalie Portman?
Yeah, it was something like that, but they had a rope and...
Arrival?
Yeah, something like
Not
that.
Not Arrival.
No,
this
other
is the
one.
Colored one, yeah. Where it's really beautifully colored, yeah. But it's a wild, weird movie.
Forgettable,
too. Yes, you were correct on that.
Yeah, so you're talking about the hazmat guy. It's like, does he have memories? Because
yeah. Well, first of all, we get this awesome scene where he comes out of the sewer. He's in color, and then the color slowly gets removed from him,
mm-hmm.
as he sees Vision and Wanda standing there. This is the last we see of this character. So what happens to Agent Franklin? We are going to find that out, hopefully, next episode. When it goes to the black and white, it still stays that widescreen.
Because mm-hmm.
then we get the scene up here where Wanda confronts Geraldine about Ultron and all that, and it goes back to 4x3, and then it spreads back out to 16x9.
We see that they had to have color TVs brought in at the sword base, by the way. Did you notice that? They kept switching out newer TVs, and they had a lot more because they started with black and white TVs.
That's awesome. And then this is when she kicks Geraldine.
Did she just say Monica? The name Ultron?
Yeah, and she gets kicked out of Westfield. Yeah, so this is something we're seeing. This is not something that everyone else is seeing.
Yeah, and this is also when the line says, when she says someone is censoring the broadcast. She says this right here.
Yep.
So Wanda sends her out very violently, and I remember watching this. When we saw last episode when she went flying outside of the bubble, I was actually wondering about that because during the commercials for the series that we were watching, they showed it from two perspectives of her flying inside and then flying out. And I thought, well, why didn't we see that part of it? I've been thinking about that for a week. But I also know that some of the trailers that we've seen up to this point, like they showed Vision and Wanda dancing, and that scene was actually on a very small small montage scene in the corner. So I figured, oh, maybe they had different scenes, but sure enough, here it was, finally put back in here. So
when Wanda does this, she has this, after she does it, she has this very confused look in her face. She has tears in her eyes as she does it, like she's realizing what she did. She puts back the nursery and the bookshelf. By the way, there's only one. I'm sure you can zoom in and find another one, but I only saw one thing distinct book on the bookshelf. It was a book about Mark Chagall, who's an early modernist Russian-French painter. His stuff is very bizarre looking. I don't know what connection that has, but you don't put a book on there and have us be able to read what it's about without having some sort of like just minor connection. Very Lost-like. Like, it doesn't add anything to the story if you know it. It doesn't change the story, but it could just pepper the story with a little bit more fun. Also, we didn't mention this last week, and I saw this on a video where they talk about meanings, dream meanings. And inside the nursery, there is a giant stuffed giraffe. Now, that didn't seem like important things to at the time, but I want to point out that on this bookshelf, next, when she reassembles the books, next to the bookshelf, there are three giraffe statues. Why are there giraffes everywhere in this all of a sudden? What's going on? Is this a Toys R Us thing? I don't know.
They just closed the final two, like yesterday or today, so they knew about it.
All right, Reddit, we need you to boost up that Toys R Us stock.
Hey, did you know that there on the Jimmy Woo's whiteboard, there was actually a question, Skrulls question mark on there?
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you want to talk about anything else that's on that whiteboard?
Not right at the moment. No, that was the only thing that stood out to me right now that we hadn't already talked about. So we see Wanda repairing the damage there. Mm-hmm. Vision enters, and this is the moment where she looks at him and he looks dead. He looks exactly like we saw him at the end of Infinity War.
With his Mind Stone torn out. Now, this leads to so many questions. Is this the way everyone in town sees him? Is this the way he actually is? Is this the way Wanda sees him most of the time? I'm assuming this just is a slip.
Exactly. There's no way that other people see him like that.
And this is a moment where we get to see him starting to be suspicious. He's still becoming suspicious.
And he says to her, we can go wherever we want. And she's like, this is our home. And we have everything under control. And that's when we get to the back to the window. And he kind of just like, oh, all right. I'm jumping past the Monica, but obviously we cut back out in the middle of this where she says it's all Wanda. She's saying this.
Whatever that means.
What this means is everything we've been led to believe up to this point is like Wanda's behind it all. Wanda's behind. Other than when Jimmy Woo is going, Wanda, who's doing this to you? And he brings up the possibility that it's somebody else. Everything as a viewer we've seen here makes it look like it's all Wanda's doing, which tells me that it is not Wanda's doing, because you wouldn't tell that much information if you weren't going to pull the rug out and find out that it's somebody else, possibly the devil, who's doing this.
Because what they're creating with these ideas is that in order for Vision to be alive and to have a life with Vision, Wanda had to do this. And she's willing to sacrifice these people's 3,000 people's lives or change 3,000 people's lives in order for her to have a good life. That's what this show is showing us right now, but obviously they can turn that on us at any point. Then this leads to my question for you, just a hypothetical question. Will Vision make it through this series alive, or is this the farewell to Paul Bettany and the MCU?
Even if it doesn't happen, he'll still come back. They all come back. He just came back. He's already come back once. I'm just saying I'm not worrying about that.
I think
that would be a waste. It would be traumatic for her. I think there is going to be trauma coming up for her to do with the children, and what that will have, I don't know, and how that ties into Spider-Man 3 and how it ties into Doctor Strange, we don't know. By the way, here's my guess, way out of nowhere. The only rumor is Paul Bettany has said that there's somebody on this show, in the movie, in this TV series that he'd always wanted to act with, and he finally got the opportunity to act with this person, and it's, you know, really excited about that. And there's no other knowledge, no one's understood anything on that, you know, like who it could be. And my guess right now, before we even get to the end, is it will be Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange, will show up in this.
That would be awesome.
That would be my guess. But we, just talking about the end of this show, oh, by the way, there's a rumor going around that there may be a secret 10th episode.
That would be awesome too.
Like they may take the last episode, the last night when this is on, because there's supposed to be 2 weeks or 1 week between this show ending and Falcon the Winter Soldier starting, and it could be like they maybe air two episodes together like they did for the pilot, but for the first two episodes. But as I said, we were getting to the end of this episode. Vision looks concerned. We go back to 4x3, and then we hear Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child playing, which is supposed to mean that she's the Voodoo Child. And the only other thing I want to point out here is I noticed it is while the
Who's
credits...
Who's the Voodoo Child?
She is.
Monica?
No, Wanda.
Because it's also playing, like, okay.
That would be my
guess.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, because you said she is, and there's been two. Yeah. This one is two main stars in this episode.
And then, but if you'll notice...
Darcy's
like,
the Voodoo Child?
Yeah, exactly. Dottie. So we see the sequence where we're kind of flipping as the credits are rolling. We're looking at all sorts of technical stuff. But apparently it's been revealed like each episode has ended where we're kind of zooming in on the Vision's eye right before we go to like no visuals and just regular credits. And I did notice this episode, it goes in on Vision's eye again. And it's the dead Vision's face.
Hmm. And when they go into the doors from Monsters, Inc., is that what you're talking about?
No, the zooming in on his eye. What?
I want to go back real fast just to the conversation about Vision being possibly not making it through this series and being the end of Paul Bettany's run with the MCU. You say it's a waste, and that could be true. You say it could be traumatic to Wanda. That would definitely be true, but it could be a good way to say goodbye to a character if you give him a long arc here right at the end where, you know, it's a good goodbye the same way they gave you a nice goodbye with Tony Stark. Or Tony Stank, as he should be called all the time. It would be an interesting way for them to go about doing it. I don't think Paul Bettany is definitely... I don't know what he's doing with his career where he's like, I need this money or I need to keep doing this. But it could be the end of Vision, which would be an interesting way for them to go. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, again, this you could be right. And that's just a waste and they want to keep his character going and he's going to make more appearances throughout the MCU.
Exactly.
I want you to explain to me a little bit of time here in this end, this final scene. So we have, so Darcy's watching the episode and she sees the Ultron get mentioned and then it goes to the cut with Vision and Wanda sitting on the couch holding the babies and they see the credits roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the thing then when they're watching the credits roll, and then we hear an alarm going off, and Monica has now landed outside.
These are all correct statements.
Correct statements. We go, so, and then we see what happened during that cut. During that cut, we see Monica get expelled.
Yes.
So from Monica getting expelled to her landing outside, they've actually seen the completion of the episode, but the episode in the way we're watching it hasn't been completed yet. Because she still has to see dead Vision and then turn him back to normal and then sit down and all that. I guess we don't have an answer for this. I was kind of just throwing it out there as what's going on here, but it's just that time nebulous sort of thing. Like when someone gets expelled, how long does it take for them to get out of town and then land with the alarm going off versus how long it took? It doesn't time out right, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Almost never.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, then I will just move along.
Sorry, I just was...
No, it's because it's confusing to me.
What's confusing?
Darcy sees the end of the sitcom. They see them sitting on the thing. The amount of time that passes from they have the alarm go off when they're watching the end of the sitcom, they run out, Monica's already outside.
The amount of time
that has passed from there to where they're watching it.
Again, we're not spending all that time with Darcy and Jimmy either. After they watched the first one, was there no broadcast happening for another 24 hours until the second one where they're in the 60s and then another 24 before they got into the 70s? We don't know.
I think they mentioned in the episode how long it's been since they started... since Darcy got there and
I'm talking about the fact that Geraldine, when Monica got sent in, we do not know what they're watching TV screens.
Yes.
We don't know what happens when it ends. Do they rewatch it again? And because they said she's watched it several times. So we don't know what she's doing. And then all of a sudden we don't have a point where they go 6 hours later. Hey, now there's a second episode starting. So we don't know the time part. I don't know if we can, I think we're getting hung up on
it. Yeah, I guess the question was,
I think this is the only episode we should do this too, because it's like, I think it's a mess because we're not spending time where Jimmy takes a nap, goes to the bathroom, has a sandwich. So we don't know if that time frame of like, well, what are they watching? Nothing's coming from there. They're just rerunning the same episode one back and back and back until they play.
I agree with that. Are they watching episode three live or are they watching a rerun? They have to be watching it live because Monica comes out of the bubble.
But she's also able to stop it and go back when she's watching it live too.
Well, no. The way she does that is she's capturing it at that time.
That's what I'm saying. She does
it. And so she goes, she's like, hold on a second. And she goes to her computer and she's able to rewind while it's still playing live and still see what they had. She DVRs it, basically.
No, I understand. I'm saying it, but so once she does that, she's no longer live because then she's now 30 seconds behind.
Yeah, but the thing is still playing live, so she can look at it and also see what's playing live. She has two monitors. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, no, it's just.
I think we're gonna get hung up on this. I don't know if we should do too much.
I do think that this show is smart enough that it could answer these questions with just one line of dialogue. And I think they'll do that. You know, it could be Franklin, could be, or they could get this next episode. Like they're gonna ask Monica. You know, they're gonna be like, "How long were you in there?" And she's gonna be like, "I was in there for 20 minutes." And like, "No, you were in there for 24 hours." You know, I think we're gonna get a line of dialogue,
or
and
that's gonna answer. What were you doing when I didn't see you on camera?
Exactly. I think we're gonna get a lot of these answers.
Well, we actually got that this episode because we got to see an angle of something when she was in the foreground of that one shot the first time that they actually see Monica on the monitor. That was something that we never saw when we watched episode 2.
It's so true, and we've also talked about how we get to see other characters' point of view,
and they are watching the commercials as are we.
Yeah, we also get to see other characters' point of view when we've pointed this out our previous podcast that like, oh, there's the point of view of someone who's not one of our main characters in the show. We're gonna get a lot of answers to that. So
Norm, all right, did it change your opinion at all after going about talking about this?
No, I love it. I love it. I you know what I know I know you are definitely, when it gets to time wobbly things, you don't like to talk about those necessarily, or you want to end that conversation because it doesn't make sense. I like that conversation because I think it adds to the mystery. And we'll see if there is a solution that they have to these problems. And because we talked about time a lot in this episode, and
ad nauseum.
And I think they're smart enough to give us the answers to those. And I like when you bring up like the bigger issues of,
going to the bathroom.
You know, 5 years. You know, he doesn't want to change 5 years, but now she lost 2 years with her mother. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's a philosophical issue, and I like that. Like, this is one of these things. Like, there's 3,000 people in that town. Their lives are being messed with. So absolutely, actually, whoever's doing this is a really bad person, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We're going to be back again with episode 5. I think it's all going to change. It's all going to get crazy. I can only say this enough. Do not watch any of the new trailers that they have out. They're putting out a mid-season trailer, and there's another couple of preview trailers coming out. They are spoiler-filled. Stay away from them. Stay away. It will wreck things for you. I don't know that much. I just saw one small bit, and I was very disappointed that I saw it. And cannot believe they got Hugh Jackman to come back as Wolverine, but now it's spoiled for me. Hopefully I didn't spoil for you just now. All right, and check us out on patreon.com/Bender Brothers Podcast to help keep the show going for us. That'd be great. It's all in cost $1, and we'll give you extra fun stuff to listen to. And that's all I've got. Joel, you good?
I'm Hugh Jackman.
All right, and I'm Hugh Jackman's stunt double, Jerry.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.